Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we do beg him, please hasten your return, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Just prior to our gospel reading this morning concerning the crucifixion of our Lord, from Luke's account in his gospel, beginning at verse 26. This is a little bit just before our gospel for today. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. That's important. Because we sit here today saying, "Oh, come on, Lord. Really? When was I so arrogant or rowdy against you? Tell us, how have we profited from your keeping us in your grace, mercy, and your peace? Did we ever, Lord, take such advantage of all your blessings and escape scot-free without any retaliations or warnings or punishment? When?" There's been plenty of times that I myself have contemplated how contemptuous toward the Lord's power and might I've bragged about my arrogance to fellow evildoers. There's been plenty of times I had taken benefits God had given me and I tossed them aside just like I didn't need them. I threw them into the trash. Oh, and then there's all those times when I remember the guilt, the remorse. And then I thought, and I felt like, wow, I got away with it. Oh, that's cool. I share with the prophet Malachi today these sentiments regarding my own past. Might you as well be able to truthfully, couldn't you say the very same thing? Like me, many of you have learned at an early age of God's being our refuge and strength, that he's a very present help in our troubles, trials, and all of our temptation. We know from the little Sunday school classes that we were in years ago how the Lord has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has given us his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, and of course you know the standard answer to be given to any question given during a Sunday school class, don't you? It's Jesus. How can you tell somebody they're wrong? So we've learned all about him who has saved us from our sin, from death, and from the devil, haven't we? We've learned. You've been told. You've heard it several times. The older folks, you've probably heard it a lot more than some others. We know what God does for us poor, miserable sinners. That his grace generously flows upon us on account of what Jesus has done, and not from any of our works, nothing that we've done, but what Jesus has done for us. Both times that I've been to Israel, I can vividly recall standing at the spot, this one station of the cross, where one Simon of Cyrene that I just read to you about, they had this spot there on the old streets of Jerusalem where they celebrate where Simon of Cyrene was enlisted to help Jesus carry his cross all the way up to Calvary. he had to help carry that heavy, roughly hewn piece of wood. But that place, of all the places that we visited and we witnessed while we were there, it was really captivating to me as being really significant in the life and times of Jesus Christ, that one spot. Because way back almost over 2,000 years ago, this was perhaps the only time that a human being was able to help Jesus physically. Help him. Somebody had to. If you follow Scripture's account in all the Gospels, of the Passion of Christ. If you follow all of that, you know as well as I how severely beaten, how scourged, how he was whipped. Not even counting all the times he was berated and poked fun at and abused by the people. My goodness, by the time he arrived at the cross, it's a miracle he didn't even have any blood in him and he was still awake. He bled out. He was finished. It's been said of all the miracles that Jesus performed during his ministry here on earth, it was only 3 years. That's a short time for such an important man of God. His own son to be here on earth to help us. That's a real short time. But why was it only 3 years? He was tired. He was spent. All those miracles that he did, he took that all on. All the healing that he did, he took it on to himself. Those demons, many of the demons he cast out, where are you going to put them? He took them on, except for some we've heard make them into pigs and they ran off. But he took those things on himself. And, you know, the divine nature of Christ could handle it, but the human nature of Christ, it was pretty beat up. And then this Simon of Cyrene, he had the honor and the privilege to do for Christ what Christ could not do. And this is an important facet to remember here on this last Sunday of the church year. For even Jesus, who is the Son of God, he became frail in the flesh, weak from all that beating, flogging, and scourging. So as he walked toward his crucifixion, the end was ever so close. But you probably remember learning all of this long ago, don't you? You see, we know from Holy Scripture that he was so spent that way from all the miracles and blessings and things that he did on earth, because you remember Scripture saying about the woman who snuck up behind him and just touched the very edge of his robe. And Jesus felt his power go out from him. That's what Scripture says. He lost a little bit of his power. Right there when that woman just touched his robe. And as he was going toward Calvary, there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. Luke uses the words mourning and lamenting that these women were for Jesus as he was being taken away to die. the punishment for those ridiculous charges that brought against him. And going back to our taking for granted about our Lord's mercy for us, how have you observed this bleak, black, and terrible day of our Lord's passion? When we have the remembrance of that one Good Friday, have you mourned? Have you lamented over what Jesus did for you? I have to wonder these things because the Good Friday worship service isn't very widely attended. Jesus told those mournful women to stop their weeping and carrying on for him because he knew the day would come for them as well as for each of us. The day would come for each of us where we ourselves would look sadly and terrified at our last day on earth. Wouldn't we? And Jesus prayed with his hands and his feet nailed to the cross. Spent as he was, he bled out, he was still talking. And he prayed for each of us. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, I'm right there with you, but we don't understand Holy Scriptures. We don't get all the power that is within them. We don't get it. And sure, our complete understanding will be achieved upon our arrival into the heavens. But even while he was dying, Jesus Christ still pled for me and for you that God would forgive us for all the lies that we've said against him, all the cheating that we've done, all the stealing, all the using his name in vain, all the other gods that we made for ourselves, all of our vanity, our failure, and our narcissistic ways, so that, you know, you would just serve him. Jesus prayed for you and I to God to forgive you of the sin of denying him who created you and kept you from all harm until this day. You've got to be doing pretty good. I prayed this morning on my drive into church this morning. I said, "Thank you, Lord. I got a house. I have a home. I have a wife. I have children. I had food. Shoes on my feet." Jesus prayed that God would even forgive you for the arrogance and boasting you do about yourself and the things you do. Could you have been bold enough to step up, even though the Roman guards commanded Simon to get up there and help Jesus? Could you have done that? Or would you have balked and said, "No way, I can't do that. I'm not about to do that. Simon didn't even know Jesus. He didn't know what he was charged with." But he was called up to help that condemned, wretched, beaten, and bloody man carrying that heavy cross. And it is the very same cross that he asked you to bear now. You see, Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," he said. We're to lift high the cross, and we're to share his glory among those who yet walk around needing so much to hear about Jesus. There's so many folks that need to hear of the great, mighty wonders that God has done for them too. We've been told to pick up our cross, follow Jesus, and minister before our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, and all nations, he said. All those who have never heard the name of Christ. you done that? I didn't think so. And so here we are at the last day of the church year. This is the day we're to contemplate our ending and to concentrate on our life yet to come. You see, in our gospel reading today, Jesus cries out to the daughters of Jerusalem, warning them of things yet to come. Jesus calls them to repentance in the face of their impending judgment. He tells them to weep for themselves, for they too will suffer a fate as he is going through at that same time. He tells them not to cry for him. Don't cry for Jesus, but scream out for all those children and grandchildren who will also confront the very same destiny that you and I have. Judgment before God on the last day. He tells them to cry for all their friends and neighbors who will stand in judgment before Christ when he returns. And you know why he said this? He said that because he knows there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to go into heaven. There'll be those who have twisted his holy word. Those evil, non-believing souls, they will perish. Tossed like chaff before the wind, like the chaff upon the threshing floor, which God will burn with unquenchable fire. But you, my friends, didn't you just hear the absolution from God? You did. If you can hear my voice, you heard God say, your sins are forgiven. You've heard that God forgives you all your sins on account of his Son, Jesus. Absolution is what Jesus prayed for you from the cross. Throughout the Gospels of God's Holy Word, we've heard this absolution from Jesus in many ways. We heard it at John's baptism and the coming of the Holy Spirit as a dove at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in the forgiveness of the paralytic and the sinful woman at the well. In his teachings, you and I, the Lord's Prayer, we hear the absolution. It's just expressed quite simply by the miracles releasing you and I from terrible sins, and those of us who are in his table fellowship, you know, sinners like you, like me, like when you and I come up here to this altar and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. It cannot be said any other way, folks. There's no option B when it comes to salvation. There's nothing to fall back on. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. There's no purgatory. It's one or the other. For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You cannot listen to the contradictions given by false preachers. You cannot attend those so-called Christian denominations where you must decide whether to follow Jesus. For evildoers seem to prosper, but they just put God to the test. And God won't have it. Listen, will you, once more to what St. Paul said to the Colossians. He said, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, us. Christ, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Yep. That's what Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus is. And that's how Jesus does what he does. He's the one sent to save you. Jesus, what peace, joy, and celebration we make to the Lord, as he tells us through the psalmist. He said, be still and know that I am God. Love that. You see, that day will surely come when everything looks bleak, when you fear the end is near, and Satan digs in deep. He has his precious moments to get you to doubt your faith. Oh, he'd love to win you over at that last minute. But then it's when your Redeemer, he bends down close to your ear and he whispers, truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in the risen Christ Jesus.